Charles Woolforth. And, you know, when I was a kid, like a lot of people, I read biographies of great historical figures because you want to find out, well, how did that person get to be that from starting out a kid like me, right? And you want sort of looking into your future. Well, now I've got my own kids and I kind of looking at it from the other end of the telescope. How do great kids grow up in Alaska? And how do some kids end up really showing tremendous promise? And what do you need to do as a parent to get there? Anyway, that's by way of introduction to somebody who I find really exciting to have with me today on our coffee house conversation, Ben Woodland, who is just graduated from UAA. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And is headed off to Turkey to do language work and to Germany and Africa and got all this amazing stuff in your future. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So we're just joining for a cup of coffee, and if you hear noises in the background, this is the setting that we're in. But I just really wanted to hear about some of your plans. You're going to be diving into learning Turkish. You already know a bunch of languages. Well, what are the languages that you've studied? I know you aren't fluent in all of them, but what are the languages you've already studied?
Well, I love languages, and in high school I started out in Soldotna at Skyview High School with Russian, 2 years of Russian, and then I went to Germany, studied German in German schools and German gymnasium, and then after Russian and German, I've gotten in Latin, a semester of Latin, a year of Spanish, those are in high school. And then in university, I've continued with my German and Turkish and dabbled on the side for fun. But those are my actual institutional studies.
And then you've done a few more just on the side for laughs?
Yeah, just I'm interested in going to Korea someday. So I've taught myself a little bit of Korean. And same with an Arabic-speaking country. I've taught myself some Arabic and some Norwegian, just a handful of others too. But I love language in general.
Uh-huh. So your main languages obviously are English and German that you're pretty fluent in.
Yes.
Yeah. So and you're headed to Turkey to pick up Turkish and become fluent in that language?
The idea is it's a critical language scholarship, and so the idea is I'll be studying starting at a basic level and squeeze in roughly a year's worth of college education at a university level into 8 weeks concentrated, focused, immersed language study in Ankara, Turkey.
And this grant is coming from who?
The State Department, the U.S. State Department. They have a list of a handful languages that they deem critical as far as the amount of people who speak them in the U.S. and relative to what they would like to see.
I see. So they're figuring you're going to be a national asset of some kind.
Hopefully.
In Turkish.
That's the idea, is that I'll use my skills to contribute to the U.S. or international economy.
Uh-huh. And you already have some plans to use Turkish, right?
Yeah. Yes. I plan on using my Turkish next year when I'm in Germany. I'll be a Rotary Ambassadorial Scholar. And there in Bayreuth, Germany, I'll be working with Turkish immigrants, teaching them English and English and German, rather.
Uh-huh.
Now,
is that something that has a particular interest for you, or how does it come about?
Yeah, that's a kind of a culmination of a lot of interests. A program that I'm in college requires that we do a senior honors thesis, and when I was picking out my topic, I wanted to kind of meld third world issues, which is what I want to get into as far as my life volunteering abroad, with what I've been studying, which is Europe, which is, you know, the first world per se, and. So I wanted to kind of look at Germany from a level that could be translated internationally, and immigration problems in European countries are big. And when Germany's economy was doing really well in the 60s, they invited a bunch of guest workers over from Turkey, and they stayed. And so they're dealing with the problems of religion and culture and language clashing still. Mm-hmm. And so I focused on that in literature, how that's manifested in Turkish-German literature, and I want to continue by kind of tackling the problems that I learned about.
So you studied that when you were in Germany?
No, I studied that actually this last year.
Oh, when you came back from Germany.
Yep.
So you picked up on it when you were there? Or?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. Even though I was in a small Bavarian town, there was a small Turkish population, and the division was apparent. I went to the third tier of high schools, and they have a different system, and I was on the university track, and there was hardly any Turks to be seen.
Yeah. So, and then you have a lot of other plans that you've told me about, and I want to get into those later. But the everyone sort of looks at sort of kids coming up and wondering how they're going to accomplish great things. And if we look at the education system, you know, we want to have certain outcomes. We don't always have them. You obviously are really showing amazing promise. You're doing really cool stuff, and you're studying at a much higher level than certainly I have ever been able to in these languages. You went to Skyview High School in Soldotna. What happened there that clicked for you, that got you into languages and turned into such a big part of your life?
Well, Skyview is kind of where I began my really lucky spurt of mentors. So I had my mentor through high school was Grigory Weissenberg, and he's from the former Soviet Union. He came over to Soldotna from Magadan, Russia, in the late 80s, just, you know, right at the right time. And he began teaching Russian, offering Russian, and at both high schools. And when I went to high school, he was working at Skyview, and I took my freshman and sophomore years. I took Russian, and then in my sophomore year, he introduced me to the Rotary Youth Exchange Program, because he knew I wanted to be an exchange student and continue using that language. Mm-hmm. And so with that opportunity, I applied and went to Germany, just kind of randomly. I was supposed to go to Russia.
So the Rotary Club sort of set up these international exchanges for just local kids, whoever applies?
It's basically, well, not for whoever applies. It's a selective process.
I had to
go and be interviewed, and it's, as far as I know, it's the largest, under one roof, largest international exchange program for high school students.
Oh, wow.
So I was lucky enough to go to the local Rotary Club and really kind of impress upon them that I wanted to go to Russia and specifically. And then later on, the next year, they told me, okay, we've approved you for Russia, and things didn't work out with Russia, but the language thing was able to continue when I went to go to Germany.
So you want to go to Russia, and they say, but we're sending you to Germany? How does that work?
Well,
that could be a bit of a shock.
Yeah, it was a shock, but it was I didn't have that much time to really deal with it, because how it actually worked was the plan was for me to go to Russia, and I had interest in Russian, I'd been studying Russian, and I wanted to go to Russia. I was set up to go to a place called Gorno-Altaysk, Russia, and in Siberia. And what happened is paperwork actually was lost on their end multiple times, and so letters of invitation, certain visa forms, and then finally when everything did get together, a few months after I was intended to leave originally in September, my passport was lost from Seattle to Anchorage, and so that was my last packet of information kind of guaranteeing me a trip to Russia. And when that got scratched, everything was off the table. And so an option for Germany came up, and people thought, you know, this is so much hassle with Russia, might as well go to Germany. So yeah. I agreed.
Did you already study German at that point?
No, I had some friends who were German that I met through the exchange program, actually at meetings and functions that future exchange students met current and former exchange students. And so I had a few people that I could talk with online as far as basics, but I knew how to count to 10. That's pretty much what I knew in German.
Wow. So what's that like to suddenly be living with a German family?
It was, for me, well, I love languages, and so it wasn't too big of a deal that I was, oh, well, you're going to a different country. It was, okay, well, I'll just start a little sooner than I would have if I was in Russia. But my host family, they knew enough English, the parents, the mother spoke English really well, and the students, my siblings, had been studying English for years, and so it wasn't too bad in the beginning, and it made for a really nice transition from the beginning where I can't do anything to, okay, let's commit to teaching Ben German, and they had that basis. So
what was the, studying a language in a high school classroom and studying it in a family must be totally different.
Yes. What I've found great about the immersion environment for me personally is you can just think about what you need to do throughout your day and then immediately know what's going to be relevant to you. So like building up, for me, I would sit in my classes and build up little vocabulary lists. Like if I have to go shopping with Monica tonight, my host mother, and I don't know how to say tomato, you know, certain things, that everyday things that, you know, I might not have understood the grammar the best, but you can build on the everyday common vocabulary really easily.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't have the sense that you're like a super prodigy for whom learning a language, it just soaks in and it's no effort. You still have to put effort into it, but you want to put in the effort because you enjoy it, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's not like I walk into a room, hear a few conversations, pick up a few things and figure everything out. It's a guided approach. So my mentor in high school, Grigory, he was my Russian teacher, and one thing that I remembered is having keywords written on the board at all times. Question words, how, where, why, certain basic things that you're always going to need to understand. And so already understanding how to approach learning a language really helped. Learning, like I said, learning the everyday things that you're going to need to survive everyday interactions. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the passion combined with maybe a little bit of an ear for it help out a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the key to education so often is developing a love of learning and desire to learn in the student, right? Once they want to soak it up, then you've done. And something must have happened in your family, in your personality, or in your school that helped that to take place.
Maybe, yeah. Education's always been important to my family, and my sister and I, she's 2 years younger than I, and we grew up together, and we've always been really interested in reading and just exploring the natural and reported world, because, you know, growing up in Alaska, most of what we're going to experience if we want to see the world is going to be in print until we're a certain age. Mm-hmm. And so, kind of viewing learning as an opportunity. This is a chance during the day when you're an elementary school student or a student to figure out what you've been wondering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're pretty confident you'll be able to pick up Turkish in 8 weeks because you've been pretty good at picking up language in the past.
I think so. And a big part of anything, any sort of learning, is knowing a basic timeline in your mind. Like if I've learned a similar skill, I know at this point, if I put as much effort as I did last time, I should be looking pretty good by how many weeks in, and so.
Do you get some confidence from your UAA experience as well?
Oh yeah. As far as my language teacher, I continued really good experience. I had a language teacher for 4 years, the same really consistent Natasha Masanovich. She's actually the department chair of the languages department, and as far as languages go, that constant exposure and also learning to move beyond the everyday survival to maybe look at literature and see certain things that you wouldn't even maybe experience in your own language unless you actually had that focused approach.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were part of some special programs at UAA, the Honors College, and tell us about that.
Okay. Yeah, when I graduated from high school at Skyview in 2008, I was in the top 10% of my class, and so I automatically qualified for the UA Scholars Program, which helps out about half of my tuition, or helped, now that I'm graduated, helped out about half my tuition, and then with that came the Honors College, and I would automatically qualify for that too if I applied. So I submit my application, has some essays about myself and kind of what I want to do, and then another program that I got involved with around the time I applied for the Honors College is a program within the Honors College, the 49th State Fellows Program. Mm-hmm. And how that came about is one of the directors was looking through the Honors College applications and found mine and called me up and told me about it. And the program basically is 4 years of a lot more work for some really good benefits. But we focus on political science and history
primarily.
And
these are some of the brightest kids, but who are willing to put in more effort and take it to the next level, essentially, and get more exposure to exciting scholars and visitors.
Yeah, the program is self-selected, so all the students who applied for the Honors College, they made that choice, and then within that group there's people who decide I want to do the fellows, and so out of our graduating class of 12 in the Honors College, 5 of us were fellows, and so as a fellow, a 49th State Fellow, we have a group of that focus group and that's in our class, as well as the other 3, and we take courses together throughout the 4 years in political science and history, and we have tutorials on great books. But the most important thing is the focused attention from our mentors, the founders of the program, Steve Haycox, Dr. Stephen Haycox, and Dr. James Muller. So they both work at UAA, and
so they're sort of your extra guide and support through getting a higher sort of higher intellectual level in your college experience.
Yeah, they're combination advisor, travel companion, professor, proofreader, book club buddy. It's just
so you go on trips with the fellows too.
Yes, we have trips every summer after whatever year we just completed, based on what we've been learning. So if there's the funding for it, the first year after we've completed our freshman year, we go to somewhere in remote Alaska. So I went to Akiak, Alaska, near Bethel, and so the idea is, it's an Alaska program, it's the 49th State Fellows, it's training future leaders but with an Alaskan focus to kind of combat the brain drain. And so the idea after freshman year, by going to a village, you'll see a part of Alaska that most Alaskans in the south central kind of focus of humans in the state don't ever see.
Yeah.
And then there's a similar trip after sophomore year, When we'd been studying U.S. government and history extensively, we go to the East Coast on what's called the pilgrimage. And so we go to the sites and famous places in D.C. and Washington, D.C., or in and New York, and all six different states just for a month. So we, the trips are a big part of it.
Yeah. I'm talking to Ben Woodland on One-on-One today. We do these coffee house conversations here in Midtown Anchorage every week, and we're just talking about his really exciting educational career and the things he's got planned going overseas with all the many languages that he's been studying. And so it sounds like you have no regrets about choosing UAA. UAA was really the right choice for you.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you got a high level academic experience, and you're graduating basically without debt.
Yes. Yeah. I'm I've had a great experience with the Honors College and that individual focus. I've been able to meet with directors of similar programs throughout the country through the program, actually, as visiting lecturers and other guests, and getting the feeling that we're getting an education that people pay, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for, as far as having this focused, selected, very dedicated group of peers and teachers. And so that right combination at UAA is perfect, especially for the price.
Yeah, yeah. So you lived in the dorms for the 4 years?
Yep, all 4 years I lived. And after my freshman year, I actually applied to become a resident advisor. And for the last three, I've been an RA.
Mm-hmm. Did you like have when people, I don't think of UAA as providing sort of the college experience with the roommate and the whole thing, but it sounds like you have been gotten all of that as well.
Yeah, I think college is what you make it, and I think intentions have a lot to say for what people will actually experience. And so I wanted to have that university experience where I'm living on campus, you know, wherever that is, and I want to be in a dorm and be able to walk to my classes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the expectation that I'd be with, you know, in a party house or in a frat or anything, and I wasn't, but I got that, even though it's a smaller community, I got that close, kind of everyone's doing homework, might as well too, situation, and it's been great.
Yeah. So you're going to be studying Turkish, and then what happens after that?
I'll be in Turkey for 8 weeks studying Turkish, and then in the end of August, I'll come back to Alaska for 3 weeks or so to kind of get over jet lag, and then when I barely do that and say goodbye to my family, I'll be going over to Germany to start my year as an ambassadorial scholar.
And so what's involved in that, the scholarship you'll be doing in Germany?
The scholarship I'll be in Germany is through Rotary International, and it's supposed to have a humanitarian impact on my experience and the community's experience. And so my side of it is I'll be studying African languages with the intent of using my Swahili someday in the Peace Corps. And then the other side, my community project will be, like I mentioned earlier, using my Turkish skills and my German skills to kind of bridge the communication gap between Turkish immigrant families in that community. So
what's the dream about Africa? I mean, what do you envision yourself doing in Africa?
The dream in Africa, for specifics, I've been interested in, you know, the world, but mm-hmm. Africa, my senior year of high school, I wanted to do debate just kind of for fun. You know, I got back from Germany and was looking for another experience, and I did debate, drama debate and forensics, and I did policy debate, and that year the topic was on aid to sub-Saharan Africa. And so when the year of debates, kind of learning about the different issues with types of aid and the impacts, positive and negative, and just in general the effects of Western intervention in impoverished areas. And learning about the pitfalls and benefits of certain programs made me really want to go to Africa, and I wanted to go to the Peace Corps before, and so that kind of just made it more of a specific desire. Mm-hmm. And so when I was applying to UAA, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do until I clicked on the little list of possible majors, and international studies fit. So
oh yeah,
I want to connect, kind of use Germany this year in Germany as a segue between what I've been studying and what I've been really wanting to do this whole time.
Yeah, and how many people, you know, go to Africa to do aid and also can speak the language? I mean, that's going to be a huge asset.
Yeah, that's in my research on figuring out what I'll be best for as far as my position and my abilities. The language aspect is a big deal, where it's a deal breaker for some people who want to go somewhere but they already speak Spanish, or, you know, they want to go somewhere but don't speak that language. And so I think by doing that, it'll be, I'm hoping to benefit the program, obviously, but also hoping to benefit my application to kind of narrow me down to that area.
Yeah. Do you see yourself in international relations or as a diplomat or doing something like that, spanning the world, you know, when you go on to a future career?
Something I'm definitely interested in as far as the Foreign Service specifically, because that's a career attached to the U.S. government that I can see myself doing a lot of good as far as eventually after I put my time in, maybe be the person who is giving grants for similar programs that I've enjoyed as far as cultural exchange, language exchange, and after a graduate degree of some sort, whether it's in diplomacy or German literature, I haven't really decided yet. I'd definitely like to really commit to the Foreign Service as far as hopefully using my language and international experience.
Yeah, that is such a long way from Soldatna, at least as I think of it, right? You know, because, and it sounds like you've grown up there and been a fisherman, what, from like the tiniest age, right?
Yeah, just been pulling in reds since I was a little one.
Uh-huh. And you've spent some time working on a seiner in Prince William Sound and building houses with your dad is in the construction industry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And do you have any desire? I mean, what I hear a lot of excitement in your voice about going overseas. Is there any thinking about, gotta get out of here, this place is too small, or any of that?
Well, like I said, a lot of the program that I've been in for the last 4 years, the 49th State Fellows Program, is the idea of the professors is to kind of combat that brain drain. There's people who have big ideas, thinks they can't fit in this place. Uh-huh. And I think, even though I want to do a lot of interesting things and really important things to myself abroad, the more I grow up, the more I realize this is a really great place to spend as a kid. As far as the physical freedom is great, you know, and then like my exposure, I've had a really interesting and beneficial childhood as far as what I've been exposed to naturally. And I think that as being a kid, environment is all, it's key. And I want to do a lot abroad, but this will always be some sort of home base.
Yeah, maybe when you're ready to have your own kids.
Exactly.
A good spot,
yeah.
Huh?
When I slow down.
Yeah. So I'm interested in your high school experience as well. I mean, Skyview is pretty small, right?
Yeah.
And you said you'd played sports and there was no challenge in getting, and not too hard to get on the team, you know?
Yeah, it was small school class. I had a graduating class of less than 100. And so if you're, you know, an athlete, basically, you can just put yourself into a sport and, you know, have fun. And there's a lot of good coaches at Skyview and community support for the sports, whether it's at Soldatna High School or Skyview High School. You know, if you're interested in extracurriculars, you can kind of decide which school you want to go to. And if that's your passion. And when I went to Skyview, it was actually for the Russian program. And so when I made that choice, but I had a lot of fun playing football, soccer, and doing basketball. And I just got to kind of hang out with my buddies and do extra stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
You were talking about your position you played in football.
Yeah, my position in football. I was pretty much always on the team, on the field. And so I was inside linebacker, then a running back, and a punter, and a kicker. So because they knew I played soccer, I was the one who got to kick the ball. But I was fast and a little burly, so I got to run it too.
You must have been tired at the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you lost, it was really personal because you're on the team.
Like you did the whole thing.
Yeah, come
right?
on. I didn't. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
What could I have done? Right.
But it was a good experience. A lot of good coaches and.
Yeah, so it sounds like your education at Skyview was good as well. I mean,
I had a really good set of mentors. I mentioned Grigori Weissenberg, and he was my language teacher, but I had some really good English and history teachers, and they had a really good set of AP classes for juniors and seniors. And so as far as the level of expectation, I had really good educators. So when I went to college, I wasn't disillusioned. I didn't have any, you know, sort of idea that it's going to be way harder than this, because my teachers had been preparing us for college. So.
Do they have that sort of AP, as the advanced placement track, where some kids are going with the advanced academics?
Well, they have it's kind of a smattering. When I was going to school, they had AP U.S. history and government. They had AP English. And then in the schools in the surrounding area, they had AP calculus and AP biology. And so one school didn't offer maybe all the AP courses, but you can get if you really wanted to, you can get a combination of the different courses and almost cover up your senior year with really hard classes.
Yeah, was that sort of your thing?
No, actually, I ended up spending my junior year
Because you're
away.
In Germany,
yep,
right.
I was in Germany for my junior year, and so that's where a lot of people get some of their AP history and AP biology in, and so when I came back, I just did AP English, and I just did AP English, but it was a lot of fun.
Have you compared notes with friends from high school who went outside to college or took other approaches, and how their experience was compared to yours?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that I've met, especially in college, going to different conferences and meeting people with similar interests and what they're doing. And it seems like, for what I can tell, the focus that I have in my group and the fellows, as far as the individual attention and then the actual one-on-one time with professors, it's really hard to compare to anything that's not set up a similar way, because the ratio of time you actually get with your professor discussing these big ideas that you're supposed to understand enough to pass the test, you know, the ratio of that time is just so much greater than in a typical class.
Great. Well, I'm so excited about your future. I want to hear about your adventures in language and Africa, Turkey and Germany, and wherever else you end up going. It's cool. I think you've got a great life ahead of you.
I hope so.
All right. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I've been talking to Ben Woodland, recent graduate of UAA. My name's Charles Wolforth. Thanks for being with us here in the coffee house on One-on-One. We'll see you again next week.
One-on-One is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated. John LaFournaise directs and edits the show. Pat Yak is the producer. Camera operators are Travis Gilmore and Josh Edge. One-on-One was filmed at Kaladi Brothers Cafe at JL Tower in Anchorage. You can watch One-on-One Sunday nights at 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on Alaska Public Television, or listen Thursdays at 1 p.m. on KSKA. Tune in next week for One-on-One when Charles Wolforth interviews UAA debate coach Steve Johnson. This is KSKA Anchorage FM 91.1.